Okay, I'm going to ask Tay to open in prayer. Thank you very much, Tay.
Okay, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I bring all these amazing teens and leaders and adults in before you today, and I pray that this lesson or this teaching that's going to be done by Genevieve will impact our lives just like every other revolution series has. Lord, I pray that you will watch over us and help us become the revolutionaries that you want us to be. So, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hello, people. How you doing? So today we're going to talk about thinking revolutionary, but before we get there, we're going to go through what recap what we've done before. So we spoke about what is a revolution. What is a revolution? Anyone can read? An overthrow or replacement of the established system. And then we spoke about a revolutionary makes new things by bringing change and redefining history. Last week we were blessed with Tabs, darling, who shared with us, and this week, guess what? It's me. Woo woo! Yeah. Yeah, almost didn't pitch today, but anyway, that's a different story. Okay, so let's start. Okay, anybody know where this clip's taken from? You can shut it out, it's fine, no hands needed. Oh, Sarafina. Okay, are we? We're just going to watch a short clip quickly. So clearly you can see I was grown up on that movie. And the reason we started out with the clip of Sarafina, we wanted to ask you a question. When I say we, this was co-produced by Mark Titley over the back. Woo-woo. So we want you to think about, from a revolutionary thinking point of view, what did the youth of 1976 need to do for apartheid to end? And we want to say, what did the people think of themselves? What did they think of the government? What did they think of others? They thought of themselves, they thought of their worth. They thought that they were citizens that deserved freedom, that deserve to be equal. They thought that they could overthrow the government, right? If you don't think it, you can't do it. It begins with the thoughts. Okay. And what we're going to do now is we're just going to go through some revolutionary thinkers. Who in history do we think were revolutionary thinkers? And we've just put some examples here, just to get your mind thinking, right? So Florence Nightingale. Florence Nightingale was the first official nurse. She revolutionized the nursing industry as we know it today. Wow. Thanks, Hannes. Spirit of joy, carrying on from last Thursday's. I can see it. More Lord. Amen. And she also opened up the first nursing school in history. And, I mean, before that, the nursing profession wasn't taken seriously. So what was going on in her mind to be able to revolutionize a whole practice as we know it today? How many parents are nurses or know of people that are nurses in your family? Can you imagine before Florence Nightingale, nobody thought that this was an important role, right? Somebody you should all know. Doesn't this make you feel young at heart? Aww. Yeah, I know you're getting old. We've got a lot of metrics. You're getting old. Walt Disney revolutionized the animation and the entertainment industry. He also created the characters of Mickey Mouse, Goofy, and Donald Duck. Also, did you know he was the original voice of Mickey Mouse? Just think about it. And all the Disneylands come from him. And the recent Frozen is also part of Disney, as Zoe would say. Yeah, you know. Yes, we want to build a snowman. Definitely. Yeah. So Steve Biko, you know, y'all do know that I'm an activist, right? In this day and age. Amandla, right? So Steve Biko, he was revolutionary in the apartheid era. He also came up with the slogan that black is beautiful. Allowing black South Africans to see themselves as beautiful and not take on the mindset of the government of the time. Okay. So I work for this great company, the fourth biggest brand in the world. Sorry, I'm just bragging a little bit. That was our that was our first CEO, Thomas J. Watson. When he took over, the company was named Computer Tabulating Recording Company. He changed the company's name to IBM, which stands for International Business Machines. When he did this in 1924, the company was only creating punch cards and typewriters. They weren't creating anything that they do today. So that was a revolutionary thought on how you could transform a company that should have gone under when typewriters became extinct, right? Also, by the way, he said no to Apple and to Microsoft, one of our biggest competitors. Well, IBM said no to them. Okay. Right, so we've done a little bit about who's revolutionary in terms of a secular manner, but now we're going to turn to who's revolutionary in the Bible. Okay. So Solomon was revolutionary. Two ladies came to him, one with the baby that's alive, one baby that was passed away. And he made a decision between whose baby this was. I mean, can you imagine? You're the mother of the baby that's still alive. And then the other lady's like, yeah, cut him in half. It's fine. You can have half and half. What half a baby you going to have? But, I mean, he was really wise, and that's why we see him as a revolutionary thinker. Deborah, she was a judge. Oh, is Deborah your full name, Debbie? Okay. You can read more on her story from Judges 4 and 5. And then we're going to reflect on Jesus. And why would we think there are many reasons, and which we will do in our activity in a bit, why Jesus was revolutionary? But for me, this is why Jesus was revolutionary. He created the greatest commandment. So the Jews come out of a place of 10 commandments, which they followed religiously. They did all their sacrifices. And then Jesus states the following in Mark 12:28-34. One of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus answered, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second, this is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So in summary, Jesus basically said, love God, love others, love yourself. So taking away from the law and sacrifices and acts to relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with others. Okay. Now we're going to turn to the greatest sermon, which was the Sermon on the Mount. And what I'm going to ask of you is for us to break up into 6 groups. Okay, so if I can have everyone break into 6 groups, please. Okay, so this is the activity. We're going to give you a passage to read from the Sermon on the Mount, and we want you to answer these questions. What did Jesus say that was revolutionary? Can you reduce it to a short phrase? How is what Jesus said revolutionary? And what would happen if we lived that revolutionary statement, okay? So for exercise 2 of the 4, can you reduce it to a short phrase? You need to write your short phrase on your piece of paper with your red marker. And then when one of your delegates come up to present, someone else will write, put their words up on the red letter table over there, okay? Must I say that again? Are we all clear? Okay, so giving you five minutes. Okay, guys. So we're going to have group one. Group one is the group that's doing Matthew 5:13-16. Please come up and give us your reflective points. While you're coming up, make it concise, one summary point for each question. And the person who's posting the poster posts the poster at the same time. Okay, guys, let's pay attention. Can we please pay attention? Thank you. Okay.
Okay, in Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses the saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What we got from the first sentence is you should be like salt and make life tasteful and enjoyable for other people and light up other people's lives. And then how we reduced it to a short phrase is that you should be flavorful and not bland and stand out between everyone else. How it's revolutionary is that it changes people's perspective and makes it different because no one said it before. And then the last question, we said that people would give things up for other people and bring change and make life interesting.
Thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause. Okay, so we're looking for Matthew 5, 21 to 22. Poster goes up at the same time, people. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Matthew 5, 21 to 22 says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." And what Jesus said that was revolutionary in this passage is that all sin is the same, and calling someone a fool and murdering someone is exactly the same. And our short phrase is that all sin is the same in God's eyes. This was revolutionary because it caused people to change how they thought about sin and gave them a sense of good and bad. If we lived it, there would either be more violence, because, I mean, if lying is the same as murdering, then people wouldn't take it as seriously. But also, if people took lying as the same thing as murdering, that would cause peace in the world. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Can we please have Matthew 5, 27 to 30? Dun, dun, dun. In term now. Okay.
Oh, okay. It says, but you have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell." What did Jesus say that was revolutionary? But I tell you, if anybody looks at a woman lustfully and has already committed adultery in his heart, so sin, yeah, and then if you can reduce it, so if you reduce it to a short phrase, you don't have to do it, you just have to think it for it to be sin. And how is what Jesus said revolutionary? It's that sin starts in your heart, and what would happen if we lived it? We would all be pure and go to heaven. Yay!
Can we have Matthew 5 verse 33 to 37?
Okay, Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the oaths you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair black, white, or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So what did Jesus say that was revolutionary? We kind of summarized it and said, don't make false promises and always keep the kingdom of heaven in mind, because otherwise you can contradict yourself and end up in trouble and problems that just doesn't lead to anything good. So, and then that was, so can you reduce it to a short phrase? Don't make false promises. How is what Jesus said revolutionary? It's a change in thought, because sometimes I think, even today, we make promises very easily without thinking it through. So it was a change in thought with regards to how promises and commitments to other people are made. And what would happen if we lived it? If we lived it, we would face less disappointment. There would be less conflict in relationships and also less harm. So it's just about thinking carefully about promises that you make, commitments that you make, and don't like promise something or say, no, I promise I'll have my project to you, I swear on my grandfather's grave, or anything like that. It's about keeping promises and not getting anyone else hurt in the process.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so can we have Matthew 5, 38 to 42? 38 to 42.
Mike.
That wasn't cool. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 42. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to see you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So what did you just say that was revolution about this one? Instead of like having payback or exacting revenge, you repay that with love and kindness, and you show them, you know, hey, I love you, bro, even though you just punched me in the face. And reduce it to a short phrase. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. Because if you do that, then it doesn't matter what other people do to you. You'll still love them. And how is what Jesus said revolutionary? If you go back, like, Old Testament, old school, all that jazz, God made every man pay for the sins they made. Sean even says, like, cut off a hand for stealing or something like that. I was like, what? Nah. That's just crazy. But now, you know, You can take any wrong that anyone does to you and turn that into something good and give that back instead of vengeance. And what would happen if we lived that kind of lifestyle? People would see that Christians are actually who they say they are. So, yeah.
Okay. Can we have the last group, please?
So, Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. Okay.
You have to hold the phone, the mic closer, so we can hear you.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay. What did Jesus say that was revolutionary? Okay. We said that we should love people and that hate, huh?
Can't
read my handwriting. We should love people and hate
no one. Yeah, basically. Okay. Reduce this into a short phrase that we should love everyone. How is what Jesus said revolutionary? Okay. People were used to the iPhone, tooth for yeah thing. That if you hate me, I'll hate you back. But now Jesus is coming here being like, hey, I'm going to love you even though you hate me. Yeah. What would happen if you lived like that? Yeah. People said we would be much happier and there would be, people would be united and we would learn to love others. But it would be hard at the same time because you can't just love people automatically. And if you love someone that hates you, you would take away their power of hatred over you. Yeah.
Thank you. So out of the statements that were put onto the red letter revolution board, just think for a moment and see which phrase sticks out to you the most and share that with somebody next to you. So we have, share your salty/light with the world for Jesus. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. All sin is equal in God's eyes. Love your enemy. Don't make false promises. Okay. You don't have to do it. You just have to think it. Okay. So in 30 seconds, just share which statement stands out to you the most with somebody next to you. Okay, so 30 seconds are up. Right. And now we're just going to look at a video from two guys who created this red letter revolution, who basically started the revolution by looking at the words that Jesus spoke, the red letters in the Bible. And we're just going to play you a clip from that revolution. Well,
we dream of a Christianity that looks like Jesus again. We read the words of the gospel and Jesus's, you know, the things that he said in those red letters. And we say, what if he really meant this stuff? What if we were to live our lives based on the words of Jesus? Tony and I wrote this book in part out of a deep concern for the Christianity that has hijacked the headlines and that has kind of monopolized the airwaves in a lot of ways so that people, when they hear the word Christian, a lot of the things that people say are boring, you know, prudish, judgmental, all these things, and you think, that's not what Jesus is like. Karl Barth once said that we got to read the Bible in one hand and we got to read the newspaper in the other. And this whole project has been about not seeing our faith as a ticket into heaven and an excuse to ignore the world around us, but exactly the opposite. That this, our faith and our love for Jesus has everything to do with how we engage the world that we live in, how we think of economics, how we think of militarism, how we think of poverty and immigration and all the stuff that folks are talking about. Like, these are the things that Jesus talked about. The parables are about unjust judges and day laborers and the lilies and the sparrows and the earth. And so these things matter to God and they matter to us as Christians.
What Jesus had to say 2,000 years ago is radical. But not only radical, but absolutely necessary if Christianity is to survive into the 21st century. The things that he has to say about militarism, he talks about loving your enemies, which probably means we shouldn't kill them. The things that he says about what to do with your money, the responsibilities that we have for the oppressed. If we follow Jesus and do what he says, we will be radicalized, we will be countercultural.
So just to round this off, we just want to ask you. So I've seen all of this. I've seen revolutionary thinkers in the secular world. I've seen revolutionary thinkers in the Bible. What do I need to do to become a revolutionary? And the first one is to have dreams. people in who overthrew the apartheid government had a dream of a freedom for everyone, of equality. Martin Luther King speaks about, I have a dream. He dreamt that black Americans would be seen as the rest, on equal footing as the rest. And that's what we need to be if we want to have revolution, be revolutionary thinkers. We also need to change things. We need to be the change agents. Mahatma Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see in the world. We need to break paradigms. We don't need to conform. We need to stand out and break the mindset, not because everyone thinks that corruption is right. Should we follow it? We need to bring in and speak about what God says in regards to corruption. And we just got one short video to play.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. The troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
And what we see there as the common, the golden thread through all those revolutionary thinkers is that they were different. They stood out. Some call them rebels, some call them misfits, some call them troublemakers. But they are willing to be called those names to stand for the revolution that they believed in. So if you want to be a revolutionary thinker, you need to keep going. When persecution comes your way, you can't say, rather not. Let me change my revolution. You need to pursue it. Your mind needs to be made up. You also need to think positively. Sometimes it gets really tough. Sometimes you can't see your dream, your future, but you just need to see the positive. You just need to see the positive in that dark, grim place when you're fighting for your revolution. And finally, you need to hear God. It's very important that you know the voice of the Holy Spirit and you're in tune to the voice of the Holy Spirit and that you are doing as the Holy Spirit says. There's no point as Christians in saying that we're going to do this red letter revolution, we're going to love others, and when it comes to something your friend hurts you or does something that's not right, we back out and our Christianity is the last thing we are known for. Okay? And in summary, we just want to say, have dreams, change things, break paradigms, keep going, think positively, and hear God. And we just want to close out on a video on how Jesus was seen as revolutionary.
So the way Jesus treated the poor, for example, and the lower class, the outcast, he treated them like kings and queens. And in that context, he was revolting against classist structures. He was simply refusing to go along with the way his society ranked people, the way he welcomed sinners, prostitutes, and tax collectors, even went to parties with them. He was really revolting against the dehumanizing aspect of the dominant religion of his day that graded people according to a sin scale, and they put themselves as the righteous people on top and judge these other people as being the worst kinds of sinners. The way he treated women was revolting against the sexist culture of his day. His whole life was a life of entering into solidarity with the poor. The Bible says, though he was rich, he made himself poor. And in doing that, he's revolting against the impulse to greed and oppression of the poor. Jesus treats these people with love and with respect. And in doing that, he's revolting against the racist structure of his society. And see, followers of Jesus are called to be revolutionaries in the exact same way. We are called to live lives that are intrinsically countercultural. And living faithful to God's will, we revolt against everything in our own culture that is against God's will. And so it may be, for example, normal for the dominant culture to just be chasing after wealth and living as comfortable as possible as though this life was all there was. But we're to be a people who, out of fidelity to Jesus, swim upstream against that and who know what it is to sacrifice of our resources and our time for the poor and the oppressed. To be a follower of Jesus is to join a revolution. The kingdom of God is a revolution.
So we're just going to close out in prayer. Lord, we just thank you, our Father God, that over 2,000 years ago, the revolution of the Sermon on the Mount is still relevant today. And we ask you, God, that we would be change agents for you, our Lord, that we'd listen to your will and not only be revolutionary thinkers, Lord Jesus, but be doers of your word, our Father God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as we leave, Father God, any blockages in our minds, in the way we think, in our cultural upbringing, Lord, that is not of you, Lord, that blocks us from seeing the revolution the way you do, oh God. We pray that you remove those blockages and help us to stand up and be revolutionary thinkers for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so next week we have Sean Pierce, who's going to speak to us about acting revolutionary. Go in peace.